Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. These words of Jesus are so haunting that the writers of the Gospels chose to leave it in Jesus' original Aramaic. And there are some commentators who have suggested that Jesus on the cross had his emotions all under control, that he was never in the place of despair or helplessness. In the hymn, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," we sing, "How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away." No, no. His Father never turned his face away. So said the commentators, that Jesus and his Father was never separated, not even for a moment. In fact, Jesus had it all under control. He was more concerned for those around him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." John, as we have heard earlier on, "Please take care of my mother." And most of all, Jesus was busy fulfilling scriptures, especially the Messianic Psalm, number 122. He was not crying in agony. On the cross, he was gallantly preaching some of his last sermons. He was expounding scriptures for the benefit of the Jewish observers at the cross. And referring, of course, to Psalm 122, "This is that." My friends, can you see? Don't weep. I'm just fulfilling scriptures. I may be exaggerating the weakness of this view, but I think this view is tragic because it strips the cross of its human tragedy. It dehumanizes the moment, reduces the cross to just a tool or step for salvation, important as the atonement of Christ is. Jesus died for our sins, fulfilling Messianic scriptures. This is all. Move on. This Easter weekend, a Christian family at the basement of Aleppo in Syria, weeping in sadness, trembling in fear, as the walls and ceilings shakes with the falling bombs, they will read this passage and find deep, deep comfort that Jesus too felt abandoned. Or think of those in Yemen. The world has forgotten. The Yemenis, they are crying, struggling, abandoned, forsaken in the midst of the war. When we dehumanize this passage and go against how Christians have read this text down through the centuries, we remove it from all connections with human realities. So this cry should be heard for what it is: a cry of someone who felt forsaken. And in this Passion Week, we have seen progressive abandonment. The crowds on Palm Sunday, then Jesus' betrayal, the three disciples in Gethsemane sleeping, and then they're fleeing at his arrest. Now on the cross, God the Father himself. In fact, we were told in John chapter 11, verse 35, that when Jesus saw Mary and Martha and the Jews in grief over the dead Lazarus, we read that Jesus wailed. English translators put it as Jesus wept, but the Greek word used is actually more akin to wailing. And note the reactions of onlookers on the cross, when Jesus gave that cry, the centurion concluded, "This man must be innocent." Standing below Jesus, right at the front seat view, the centurion could hear, see, and sense everything as Jesus cried out. The crowds beat their breasts as they returned home in sorrow and regret. You don't get that reaction if Jesus was only reciting scriptures. And don't miss this in verse 49. The women from far off, those who knew him, who have followed and loved him, they watch, like we can assume, they wept as well, observing in silence. And existentially, we can understand the suffering that Jesus experienced more than physical pain. And here, the Jesus of the Lama Sabachthani represents every sufferer who is undergoing a dark ordeal of abandonment. It was the philosopher Thomas Huxley reflecting on the suffering of humanity. He said, "If our hearing was sufficiently acute to catch every note of pain, we would be deafened by one continuous scream. The scream of suffering humanity in time and space." And here, Jesus' scream, the mother of all screams, is in this one continuous scream of humanity. The cry of Job in chapter 23, verse 3, "If only I knew where to find him," is echoed by countless down through the ages, whether they are believers of God or not. And here they find solidarity with the cry of Jesus, my God, why are you silent? My God, why have you walked away?" We are familiar with the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. We sung and we wish his blessing on our Prime Minister at the SG50 prayer rally. More than 50,000 Christians singing in unison, and we could see how visibly moved our PM was at that moment. But on the cross on this day, the reverse was happening. Jesus was being shamed, abandoned. On this day, the Lord's face did not shine on him. It was turned away, if we can agree with the hymn. We said the Father's love for us is so deep that at one point in history, his face was turned away from his Son. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" This cry is a question. The only question, the seven last words of Jesus. Why? If I'm loved by you, why are you not doing anything? The real pain is a sense of abandonment. And it can be felt in that question, why? And I close with these stories from my own family. When Sarah, our oldest daughter, first came into our lives, some relatives advised us that the best way to avoid having the child waking you up a few times in the night for the next few months or even years is to train the child by using the parenting principle of abandonment. So new parents, listen carefully. When she cries, no matter how loud, let her be. Don't do anything. Don't even come close to her. And after a few days, she will get it. And for the rest of her babyhood, she will only cry persistently if she's really in trouble. not when she wants some milk or wants to be rocked to sleep. And so, hearing this wonderful advice, we tried, me and Jennifer. We put Sarah, I can still remember, on the basket or so, on the dining table, and we sat briefly in the living room, not too far away, and maybe there was a mistake. That was a mistake. And after 45 minutes of hearing Sarah crying nonstop, we gave up. Never ever tried that parenting principle of abandonment. Or I should say, we gave in to her crying. To turn our face away, even if the motivation is to discipline her, was very, very difficult. I fast forward 20 years to my experience now with my ailing 72-year-old mother, my own mother, on a hospital bed. She had just undergone a major brain surgery. Not only was she in pain, but her mental capacity was severely diminished. The curtains were drawn as the nurses were changing her. And I could hear that she was in excruciating pain. I peeked through a gap in the curtains, and that was a mistake. She was fully naked, like a newborn baby. The mistake was not seeing my mother naked, for the first time actually. The mistake was to allow her to see me. The Malaysian nurses were pretty rough on her as they tried to change her. When she saw me, I can still to this day remember the look on her face. She said, you know, I have to do this in Cantonese, Achung. Achung, that's how she called me. Pongo. Pongo. Ngoho, Sanfu. My son, help me. I am in deep pain. It was a kind of look, a stare, in fact, that indicated that she did not know what was going on. Why are these strangers hurting me? And why is my beloved son just standing there and did nothing? And by the look on her face, I felt she was thinking in a diminished mind that I was complicit to her suffering. I'll never forget that look. I regret peering through the curtains. For while I could not help her, of course I love her. And I rue to this day that moment where I allowed myself to be seen by her. That look on her face, she said, Achung, Achung, why? A sense of being forsaken, a sense of abandonment. Felt abandonment from someone that you know loves you deeply. It's not my intention to over-sentimentalize this moment on the cross. But if you have not already experienced it, there will be points in your life when you feel abandoned and forsaken. In those dark moments, remember that if it is a Good Friday moment in your life, the Easter is just round the corner. That no matter how you may feel at that moment, no matter how abandoned you felt, that God is watching and still loving. Even if the silence is deafening. And remember, it will always be, always, however deep the suffering, the sense of being forsaken, you always be just for a little while. For on Easter day, as Jesus did when Lazarus was called out of darkness, God will break the dark silence. We will hear a loud roar. Lazarus, and here you can insert your own name, come forth. The moments where we feel abandoned, may God seem silent. May what Jesus has gone through continue to give us courage, strength, and hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.